This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Ben Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Overseeing an organisation responsible for producing a key festival in Melbourne would normally see CEO Hadley Agrez looking forward to the next 2 weeks of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival. But this year he will not be out every night for the fortnight. Sadly, not so long ago, Hadley had to announce that this year's festival, the 23rd, was cancelled due to the impact of the coronavirus. However, all is not lost musically, as throughout the industry, new ways of entertaining have been brainstormed and trialled, and the Melbourne International Jazz Festival has come up with an online jazz festival, which they are calling These Digital Times. Let's hear what that means directly from the CEO. Welcome to Bent Notes, Hadley Agrez.
Hi, David. Great to be here with you from my lounge room.
Oh, excellent. It is a bit different having a radio interview in this mode, Hadley, isn't it?
It really is. But it's a brave new world.
Very brave and a little strange at times too in the last couple of months. Times that are causing a lot of stress and strain to so many people, and particularly in the entertainment and hospitality industries. I've been really thrilled to see a number of musicians try out new ways of doing things during this last couple of months. What innovations have you seen from musos in the last couple of months that have either surprised or thrilled you?
Firstly, I should say, I, like everyone else, is missing the opportunity to go see a gig, you know, in a venue. But as you say, there have been some people, particularly musicians, I think, who've really turned the task with some creativity and done some interesting things. And I think in these times, once everyone realised how, you know, connected we all are via the internet and the opportunities that affords, you've seen some really interesting outcomes and really interesting interaction from between artists and audiences, which I think has been to some extent beneficial and been really fun to take part in and to watch happen around us.
It certainly appears that there's a number of musos who have had great fun doing what they're doing, even if it hasn't been anything from a money-making perspective. But they've been getting up there, they've been putting their Zooms on and playing music for us. And I've seen a few different styles. There's those people who have gone out and done an all-out show, the likes of Kate Sobrano. Then you've got Michelle Nicole doing some stuff in that similar type vein. But then you've got Paul Grabowski and Tim Stevens, who will put together 2 or 3 minute piece, in Paul's case once a week and in Tim's case every day. It's been great to see them doing something, and I suppose that's a bit of an encouragement for other musos, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and I think it sort of starts, it has the potential to get musicians and artists generally to start thinking about new ways to approach their music, their writing, their work, and how that is seen or heard by different audiences and different ways to engage with people when it's all very obvious when you've got a musician on stage and an audience in front of you. But now people are becoming really creative with those options. And then, of course, I suppose there are those that have taken a different direction that I'm really excited to see what happens in the next 6 months to 12 months as well, once things become, let's say, more normal again. And those musicians and artists who've been behind closed doors, busy working on projects that they've always wanted to have a moment to think about or conceive or really, you know, knuckle down and dedicate time to. So I think it'll be a really fascinating time for Australian music and art over the next 6 to 12 months.
It will indeed. Now, since announcing in March that the Melbourne International Jazz Festival was cancelled, what has your team been doing and how long has it taken to develop this brand new concept of These Digital Times?
Well, we've been busy, clearly. Initially, we obviously all of our attention was taken by the process of, I guess, dismantling a festival, if you want to call it that.
That must be a very sad feeling as you're going through the process.
to be honest, it really was. It actually took a couple of us off guard, I think, how emotionally attached you are to a project and a work that you know, we've spent well more than 12 months putting together and the work that goes into that. So there's certainly there was the sadness from that side of things, but also those around you, as you speak to artists and colleagues and arts workers and a number of people who, you know, in the space of sort of 72 hours at that time, gig after gig was tumbling, you know, and it was a really difficult time for our entire sector to manage. So certainly sadness around dismantling the festival and sadness, you know, on behalf of all those around us who were losing their gigs and their work.
When did you have the idea that maybe you could actually achieve something outside of having to just dismantle?
I think once you go, I mean, firstly, I suppose it's a credit to those around me and those that we work with, because especially in the land of festivals and the arts broadly, everyone is largely a delivery-focused human. So when an opportunity presents itself, people are really, I've found, willing to jump on it. But I really should also acknowledge our kind of partners and those who have come to us and have helped form these ideas with us and obviously given us some financial support in order to do so. So primarily amongst them, the Vizard Foundation have been instrumental in putting this thing together and supporting us financially, along with Creative Victoria, of course, and the City of Melbourne and some other key sponsors as well. They've been integral as part of the process and giving us a platform financially to put this together.
What do you see as the main benefit coming out of being able to roll out these digital times?
I think the sort of benefits there are a few key ones. I think obviously our focus with these digital times, I think as a program, is quite heavily focused on Melbourne, obviously. I think that's great. We don't always have that opportunity to weigh the program that heavily with Melbourne artists, but by necessity here we have to, and it's a great reminder, I think, for everyone of the quality of jazz and contemporary music that we have in this town, and really is as strong as anywhere, I believe. So it's really great to be able to focus on that part, that side of the program in particular, and in doing so it allows us to provide opportunities for artists and musicians who, you know, may have lost gigs and the sort of financial side that comes with that, but also the performance opportunities. You know, musicians want to play. That's the whole point, right? So I think as much as providing some, you know, additional finances at this time, I think it's probably just as important to provide the performance opportunities as well.
My special guest is CEO of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, Hadley Agrez. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
On Joy 94.9, my special guest on Bent Notes is CEO of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, Hadley Agrez. Now, Hadley, these digital times, this new initiative from the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, is 3 days from midday through till 10:30, I think, each day. Saturday, May the 30th is the first, and then you've got the end of June and end of July as well. Did you have, when you started putting the program together, an idea that each day would be of similar styling, or did you aim for something special on each day?
To some extent, it's programmed as a body of in three parts. I mean, one of the key sort of points behind staggering it as a monthly series is to allow us some flexibility with the, you know, hopeful easing of restrictions, so that, you know, initially now we're working with smaller ensembles for Saturday the 30th of May. Our hope is that over the coming weeks we'll be able to include larger ensembles and start building up into a different kind of performance as we're able to have more people in the space, because obviously safety of artists, staff and everyone involved is, you know, paramount concern. So this model will allow us to scale up, I suppose, in terms of sheer numbers as we go through the series. So that's had a quite impact as how the series has been put together in terms of a program as well.
Let's have a chat about next Saturday night, the 30th of May, or next Saturday, in fact, starting at midday. You've got program that runs from midday to 10:30, so 10 and a half hours of program, kicking off with a career development panel, Surviving and Thriving. Who are your focus for that one?
In a similar way to our typical career development panels that we've been running for several years now, this one is targeted primarily usually at early and mid-career artists and musicians. But I think with this particular topic, I would encourage anyone and everyone to attend. Musicians, of course, but actually interested parties more broadly, because surviving and thriving as a theme in the current climate is, I think, as relevant to anyone as it ever has been. So we're really looking at health and well-being in the music industry, but particularly now with a focus on the obvious conditions.
Do you have a panel of people who are presenting that one?
We do. We do. It's an excellent panel, I must say. We have Holly Norman will be facilitating it. She's a musician and arts worker herself, and up until recently has been working with us at the festival. She's just recently gone off to start a new family, which is very exciting for her, but she'll be back alongside Zanny Kolak, who is representing artists on the panel, Luke O'Connor from Support Act, which is obviously a very important and vital organisation in our industry, Tracy Margeson, who's head of the program of the Arts and Wellbeing Collective at the Arts Centre Melbourne, and psychologist Chris Cheers will be there as well, who has done a lot of work in arts community and with independent artists over the years.
What a great panel that is. And you're following that fairly serious topic with something lots of fun, the Teeny Tiny Stevies. Now, I've never heard of the Teeny Tiny Stevies.
Oh, you are missing out, let me tell you. My three-year-old would be furious. they genuinely are favourites of ABC Kids Channel and many other places. They're a wonderful band who really write great, considered music that is not just yet another kids show, if that makes sense. In inverted commas, they're wonderful musicians in their own right.
And obviously a touch of jazz in their presentation. Following that with Flora Carbo.
Yeah, who's, you know, definitely a familiar name here in Melbourne and presumably across the country, and an even more familiar name every year that passes. So we're really thrilled to have her in the program. And I think it'll be a beautiful trio. As I said before, we're starting with sort of smaller ensembles. Flora will be a great way to start the adult program.
It will indeed, joined by Theo, her brother, and bass player Sam Anning. Now, you're following that. You're moving from Australia over to Italy.
That's right. So we've been lucky in this coming program where we have artists representing Italy and the United States, and that's actually with the support of the U.S. Embassy in one case and the Italian Cultural Institute in the other, because
fantastic.
Both those countries have obviously been hit incredibly hard of late with COVID-19. So we're really thrilled to have them represented in the program, obviously. And Luca in particular is a fabulous violinist who will be doing some looping wizardry, I think, in a very high quality performance streamed live, I believe, for Luca, direct from Italy at some ungodly hour of the morning there.
It will indeed be an ungodly hour. But that's great to hear that we're able to get him across live. That is absolutely superb. And you're following that up then with Julian Wilson launching his Stock album, which he's been looking forward to for so long.
Yeah, as have we all, I'm sure. It was great. I mean, this is one of the performances that was scheduled as an album launch in the festival itself. So it's really wonderful that there's an opportunity for us to have an online launch event for this project.
Yeah, the thing that'll be different about that, of course, is you go to launches and you hear the music and then you clap. Here we'll hear the music and then there'll be quietness. It'll be
I'm sure everyone
different.
Will be clapping from there.
Oh, from won't they, exactly. they will. Is there some way we can link them up so that we can get all the clapping together?
Leave it with me. I'll work on it.
Excellent. now, you're following Stock with Kate Sobrano. She's going to be a bit of fun there from 7 o'clock.
Absolutely. And she's done so much work in jazz over the years, so it'll be really nice. She's got a wonderful, wonderful band with her as well. So we're looking forward to that too.
And then you've got two other programs to finish the night. You've got direct from the US, Gretchen Paleto and Mark Giuliana.
Yes, so some I mean, I'm sure many listeners are familiar with both of these artists. Gretchen was out here for the festival in 2018.
She was.
With a wonderful show. I'm not sure if you managed to catch it, but it was fabulous. And Mark is, as I'm sure everyone knows, is one of the, best jazz drummers in the world currently, and is incredibly in demand. So we're really lucky to have them putting something together. I mean, sometimes it's fortunate that these great musicians are isolating together, and that presents really unique opportunities.
Oh,
so they're doing a vocal and a drum percussion duo performance that they've recorded from their home studio, and will include new material that's been written specifically for this, along with some other work from Gretchen's other projects.
That's going to be really interesting to watch and listen to, that one.
Absolutely.
Hadley. And then you're finishing up with a late night set, although it's only 9:30, but it's the late night set from Kait.
Kait, she's make sure you're tuned in at 9:30 for that one, please, because she's a fabulous talent. I believe she won the ARIA for soul and R&B last year. She's a fabulous vocalist. I think I first caught her set at a Golden Plains Festival a couple of years ago.
Right.
And she's only been going on to bigger and better things since then. She's a real vocal powerhouse. Definitely one to catch if you like a bit of a soul or neo-soul sound in your mixed in with your jazz.
What a great way to finish the event, the entire 10 and a half hours with Kait. That will be absolutely amazing, I'm sure, next Saturday night. It is really an amazing program, Hadley, to think that it's been put together at relatively short notice and getting everyone to do things that they're not used to doing. It's great to see. It's a great initiative, and I would congratulate Melbourne Jazz Festival and, of course, the sponsors, which include the Vizard Foundation, for enabling you to do this work. Australian and international jazz and contemporary music is what you're describing the event as, next Saturday, May the 30th. Where can we go to find out all the details?
Well, I'm glad you asked. You can go to melbournejazz.com. There will be a link for each artist underneath their listing. We'll be live from their scheduled times. All the information is there. If by any chance you might have something else on Saturday the 30th, which I can't imagine what that would be, we will have these performances up online for another fortnight at least afterwards. So rest assured, you can catch them all.
Well, we've all got our calendars already booked for the entire original Melbourne International Jazz Festival, so there's nothing in the calendars.
Perfect. Great. Wonderful to hear.
Hadley, thank you so much for your time tonight. It has been a great pleasure to chat with you about these digital times. I'm looking forward to seeing the artist performances over the next 3 months and seeing how this style of performance develop over those 3 months as other restrictions are able to be freed up a little bit. And I certainly look forward to seeing and attending the Melbourne International Jazz Festival next year.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me on. And absolutely, we will be back again next year.
Fantastic. Thanks, Hadley. My special guest has been CEO of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, Hadley Agrez. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.